Well, there it is. Good morning. Great to see everybody here at Second Baptist Church. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with us today. If you're a guest today, I want to say a very special welcome to you. Thanks for choosing to worship with us today. We would like to connect with you in a couple of different ways. Maybe you're here in person or you're online. If you're in person, there in the pew back in front of you, there's a card that we ask that you would fill that out at some point during the service. And then at the end of the service, as you exit today, you can place that in the offering plate. We have an opportunity to know a little bit more about you and how we can better serve you. The other way is you can go on our website, sbcr.org, and click the button that says I'm new and fill that out, and we'll get that information, and we hope that we can serve you as well. Want to make you aware of just a few things that are happening in the life of our church. It's springtime, and hopefully you didn't lose too much sleep last night. And in that hour, I've got a lot of blanks this morning on your outline, so hopefully that'll keep you awake. Amen. But anyway, in the life of our church, tonight we are having Man Up at 6. So those of you who have been able to be a part of that, I would encourage you to be back. And if you haven't, I want to encourage you to come. You don't have to you're not going to miss out. It's been great information about how to lead as men. It doesn't necessarily build on one another, the sessions. So come and join us at 6 o'clock tonight. Make note of our midweek activities with our children's activities, our youth and college, as well as our prayer meeting time there at 6. Also wanted to mention that you see a note in there about the baby shower. Be aware of that and that date. Also, today, I'll say this up front and I'll say it at the end. We are continuing to receive that love offering for Sherry Posgrove Taylor. I want to mention right now, as Pastor Chris did last week, cash only. So make that note. If you didn't have an opportunity last week, maybe you will be able to do that this week. But this morning is the last opportunity. We just did it for a week. So be aware of that. About that opportunity to be a blessing to Sherry for all the years of service that she put in here at Second Baptist. And then there's also a note about Annie Armstrong. I'll share a little bit more at the end of the service about that, about our goal. There's offering envelopes there in the pew in front of you. I believe that's all that I want to mention this morning. I do, as we turn our attention to our worship service and as we have this time of prayer and we begin singing unto the Lord, I'm preaching today from Revelation chapter 19, and I thought this was appropriate because it describes a worship service, basically, that we see here toward the end of this incredible book of prophecy about the end times. I don't want to read a portion of that as we begin to quiet our hearts and also to focus on our God, our God who is an almighty God, our God who is reigning even in this moment, not just in the end times, amen, but he's on his throne even now. And so it says, after this, I heard something like the loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah. Salvation, glory, and power belong to our God because his judgments are true and righteous. Because he has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his servants that was on her hands. A second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke ascends forever and ever. Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who is seated on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. A voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all his servants and the ones who fear him, both small and great. And then verse 6, then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters and like the rumbling of a loud thunder saying this, hallelujah, because our Lord God the Almighty reigns. We do not have to wait until that moment to give our God, the Lord God Almighty who reigns. We don't have to wait to that moment to lift our voices in praise to him. What we do here on this earth, and even in this moment today, it's a rehearsal, isn't it, for what's going to happen. And I believe, in just a short period of time from now. And that's going to be a glorious day. But let me tell you something. Right now in this moment, God deserves our praise, doesn't he? I wonder if you would to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And as you think of about our Lord God Almighty who reigns. Maybe in the quietness of your heart, you would just simply praise him for being on the throne and never leaving it. Thank him for his kingdom that lasts forever. Thank him for inviting you to be a part of that kingdom. Thank him for the opportunity even now to join the song that is already being sung over the ages. Hallelujah. For our Lord God the Almighty reigns. And maybe in the quietness of your heart, that's what you would say. Hallelujah. For God, you reign. Not just in the universe, but here in my heart. Father in heaven, you are so good. And there is no one like you. For you are the Lord God Almighty who reigns. And we are so thankful that we have an opportunity this morning to join the song that's already being sung through the ages. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what we want for this moment, as we begin to sing these songs of praise to you, may it be a reflection of what is true in our hearts, that you are there on the throne of our hearts. Father, we love you, and we give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing, I Stand Amazed?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, drops of blood for mine. How marvelous.
your voice is doing this morning.
Tempts me to despair. Amen. I hope that maybe today we caught a glimpse of what it's going to be like in glory. Oh, can you just envision it for just a moment? You know, as I read earlier, it was this vast multitude. Thousands upon thousands of voices raised together in praise of our Lord God the Almighty. And what we did right here, can you get this glimpse too? What we did here in this moment, there were churches around the River Valley who were raising their voices at the same time that we were, right? And even though we could not hear them around this area, they were being raised together. All right, are you getting the picture now? What we did not hear this morning, we will hear one day together. Oh, I don't know about you, but that makes me look forward to that day. Because I think about, I don't know about you, but of course I love to sing, and y'all know that. But this right here was powerful for me. And I love raising my voice to my God. And I can't imagine when I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who love to raise their voice to God. Thousands upon thousands of them in unison singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't, you know, there's a part of me that I just want to keep on singing, right? In this moment. But I know that God has laid a message on my heart, and I want to share it with you this morning. Last week, these past several weeks, Pastor Chris has been in the book of John, just walking through that, and we're seeing Jesus, the Word who became flesh, and we're starting to get a glimpse of what His ministry is all about. And the past several weeks, He's just settled down in John 3:16, talking about, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Last week we talked about how that eternal life, that everlasting life, is not just for the hereafter, but it's that abundance that we even experience in the moment, right now. Not just the peace that overcame us when we prayed and asked God to forgive us of our sins, so we repented from our sins, we turned from our way of doing things and turned to His way of doing things, but that peace that really governs our lives, even in this moment, to help us to realize that eternal life is even now. And so with that, I in my mind, I was thinking, what a great pause for us now that I have this opportunity, and let's talk about some of that eternal life that we're going to experience in heaven. And just this one moment, as you've seen on the screen already, and you've seen in your notes, the celestial ceremony that I call it here, that worship service that we see in heaven there in Revelation chapter 19. I hope you've already found your place there. But I want to share with you something that as I have, many of you know that we had a big event happen within our family unit. My daughter Erica was married, amen, just a few weeks ago. And I had so many people ask me up front, you know, how you doing, how you handling it, and you know, I I didn't know if there was something on my face that was showing that I wasn't handling it well, or there people just, I know that people were just genuinely interested, right? And because it is a big event, it's a big life change, not just for Erica, obviously for Erica, but for Michelle and myself. And you know, I one of the things that I said over and over again was, you know, it's just time. You know, Michelle and I, we discussed it, and we felt like, you know, we accomplished our task as parents and prepared her as best as we could. And our prayer is that when we failed, when we made mistakes, that God, that He filled in the gaps. Amen. I think that's our goal as parents. Those of you who've have children who have been married, that's been your prayer, right? That you've done what God has called you to do, and then when you have failed, or when you made a mistake, or when you felt inadequate, that God filled in the gaps. And so even in that moment, I just remember how wonderful that day was. And yes, I was experiencing all sorts of, you know, a wide variety of emotions that day. And I just remember coming down and escorting her down the aisle, and just, there was a lot of joy in me. Not because I was kicking Erica out of the house, right? I kicked with my left foot. I don't know why I did that, because that's my non-dominant leg. That was probably really awkward if you were watching that. It's not like we were kicking her out of the house and we were like, yeah, all right, we got an extra space in our house. We've got all sorts of plans, how we're going to redesign our room and, you know, all this stuff. Although that might be in the works. I'm not going to say it's not. But I just remember that joy, and then even going through the ceremony and just thinking, what an incredible day. And then, you know, we had our hiccups, nothing major. One big hiccup was that we inadvertently left the marriage license at the house. Kind of important on a day like that, right? To have the officiating minister make it official on that document, right? So I'm going home, and Michelle told me where she thought it was, and I'm looking on the desk, and I'm just panicking, right? Because I'm like, everybody's going up to where the reception is, and I'm just like, okay, you know, they have all these plans of how, you know, there's that little thing called the father-daughter dance that I was kind of looking forward to, you know, up there, and just having that moment with Erica, and I'm sitting here like a typical male, right? And some of you ladies here, you understand what I'm about to say. I'm looking on the desk, and I can't find it. I cannot find that. And so I go back to our room, and I'm rummaging through everything. I go back to that desk. Ethan comes in. He looks on the desk, and guess what? He can't find it. I've trained him well. I've done my duty as a father, right? Train your son well. Make him just like the typical male, I guess. I don't know. But he couldn't find it either. I'm trying to call Michelle, and lo and behold, Michelle had misplaced her phone somewhere here in the church, she thought. And so I'm calling up, and MK's up there, and I've got a hold of her. And then Michelle shows up, and she says, Jonathan's not here? And she's like, no, he's looking for the license. And so, I must have, in the things that we had on our desk, and I know none of you in here have a desk or a table like this where there's a lot of stuff that it just becomes, you know, you just pile it on there over time. None of you have that in your home, right? And so, but we do, all right? And so in that searching, I think I was picking up the marriage license with a box every time, every single time. And I'm sitting here, I'm talking on the phone, and I told MK, I was like, yeah, I know I'm being the typical male. I admitted it in that moment that I could not find it. And as soon as I said that, there it was on the desk. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I found it, and we went up, and you know, an incredible day for us. And I over the weeks I've been processing, you know, just all those emotions, what it means, and things like that. And I there was one day I even asked God, I was like, where did that sense of joy, where did that sense of pride come from as I was escorting my daughter Erica down the aisle? And I just want to share with you this morning some of what God has been doing in my heart as a result. And as we think about eternal life, I thought about this celestial ceremony. Because here toward the end of this passage, we see the marriage of the Lamb. And we see the feast that ensues, that reception that ensues afterwards. And we know that God has instituted marriage to be, for us, really a picture of Christ and His church. And I hope this morning, as we walk through this, you will become more in awe. Just in your mind and in your heart, it would overflow. You would overflow with joy and anticipation for that day. Because no matter how much I enjoyed that day and I thought it was an incredible day, this day right here that we're going to talk about this morning is going to be so much better. Amen. Are y'all awake this morning? I know y'all. We sprang forward today, so I'm going to try to be as quick as possible this morning. I left you a lot of blanks, so maybe it'll help you stay focused this morning. But I want to talk about this celestial ceremony. So if you found your place in Revelation chapter 19, would you please stand? I'm going to go back to verse 1. I know I read these verses at the beginning of the service, but I want you to get the full picture of this celestial ceremony. After this, I heard something like this loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous, because He has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality." By the way, I want to pause right there, and I'll refer to this in just a moment. I love in this passage the contrast, all right, and he's referring to Babylon, right, in the previous chapters, and the notorious prostitute, and how there's this contrast between the notorious prostitute and with the pure bride of Christ, His church. Amen? Isn't that incredible? There's that contrast. So what's going on even now that we see that all right, I'm not going to get into it. Let me just pause. But I want you to see that now, that contrast between Babylon and the church, who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His saints that was on her hands. A second time they said, "Hallelujah. Her smoke ascends forever and ever." Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who is seated on the throne, saying this, "Amen. Hallelujah." A voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all His servants, the ones who fear Him, both small and great." Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters and like the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, because our Lord God the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give Him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has prepared herself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure, for the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write this, 'Blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb.'" He also said to me, "These words of God are true." Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold firmly to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, because the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit. Prophecy. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that here on this earth you give us pictures, you give us glimpses of what is going to happen in the hereafter, of what even is going to happen here on this day that we are going to look at this morning from your word. God, I pray that as we examine this passage of Scripture, I pray that our hearts would become more enthralled with who you are, that our hearts would be grasped by the anticipation of that day. And as a result of that, may that change the way we live in the here and now. Because, Father, I know for myself, I want as many people as possible to be a part of this celestial ceremony. God, thank you for Jesus, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the Lamb that was slain so the church could be born and can be presented to Him pure and holy. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the main idea that I see here, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about all the representation of the 24 elders or anything like that. I just want to focus on this ceremony and the individuals who play a part of this ceremony. Just like in our wedding ceremony, we usually have an officiating minister, right? We have a bride, we have a groom, and we have all the bridal party, right? And then all the guests, and then you have the father of the bride and the mother of the bride and father of the groom and the mother of the groom, you know, whoever of the family that is there represented, and you have the father of the bride that ushers his daughter down the aisle on most occasions. Amen. And so we have that picture, and just like that, I think we can see here in this moment that picture, because I believe he has given us the wedding ceremony to be a foreshadowing of what we're going to experience when we're in heaven with Him. So there will be a colossal celebration in heaven one day. A huge celebration. And again, I know I said this earlier. I felt like that day just a few weeks ago in Eric and Seth's wedding, it was an incredible day, and there was a lot of time, a lot of energy that was put into that. But let me tell you something, that ceremony that we will experience as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, it will be so much greater than any other celebration that we have ever experienced or even have been told about here on this earth. Put all those experiences together, and I believe that we'll still pale in comparison to what we will experience in that moment. Oh, what a day, a glorious day that will be. That's what we sing. Amen? Do we believe that? Do we think it's just going to, are we going to be in that moment? Man, I can't believe God chose those colors. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't think so. Because here's the reality. We'll probably see colors we've never seen before. Amen? I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you. I hope you are. So the key question today is, have you claimed your chair at the reception? Just as we have a reception after the ceremony, there's going to be there's a marriage feast of the Lamb, amen, that we just read about. And I don't know about you, but I like to eat. I like to experience the celebration of what has happened. And that's what we see here. The celebration, it began before the ceremony, right? But it will continue for eternity. And that's going to be an amazing thing. You know, the celebration that we had just a few weeks ago, Eric and Seth left about, it was a little before 5 o'clock that evening, right? And then came the cleanup. I don't know about you, but if you've ever experienced the cleanup of a reception, there's not much celebrating that goes on there, right? Oh, there's not going to be any cleanup up there, is there? It's just going to be celebrating. Whoo! Y'all, I hope you get excited this morning. I hope you see what is awaiting us. And not only that, but I hope that excitement spills over into your life so that not only you can answer this question with the affirmative, have you claimed your chair at the reception, that someone else will be able to claim a chair. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's get into this morning. I've got three points, as you see from your notes, that I want to share from this. First of all, the conqueror is cheered. Oh, did you see that as we read through that? That the conqueror, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord God Almighty, He reigns. And you see this when I say cheer, He's celebrated. He is praised. Amen? And in this moment, because of what has happened, let's go back and read verses 1 through 6. After this, I heard something like the loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation, glory, and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous, because He has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His servants that was on her hands." A second time they said, "Hallelujah, her smoke ascends forever and ever." Do you see a pattern here of what's going to be happening when we are in heaven? We won't get enough of singing hallelujah. So here's what I want to challenge you, not just for this morning. Begin now. Begin now in your own heart and with your own mouth singing and saying hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes it's hard to do that, right? Because we're experiencing some trials. We're experiencing some tribulations. But let me tell you something. God's going to wipe all of that away one day, and we won't have to experience it anymore. So let's say hallelujah now to be ready for when we say it up in heaven. All right, that was not in your notes. That was an aside. All right, let's get to verse 4. Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who is seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." A voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all His servants and the ones who fear Him, both small and great." Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters and like the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, because our Lord God the Almighty reigns." You see here in these first six verses in this celestial ceremony that the conqueror is truly cheered. He's cheered for a couple of reasons, I think. First of all, because he has condemned the corrupt. He has condemned the... You see this. He says because in verse 2, because his judgments are true and righteous, because he has judged the notorious prostitute. Here he has condemned Babylon, this notorious prostitute, because of what she has done to the saints, because what she has done to God's servants. And you see this final judgment coming upon the one who is so much different, who is as a polar opposite of his bride, the church, who is pure and holy. Listen to what Romans chapter 1 verses 18 and 19 says. "For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness on people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to him." We see here that he has condemned the corrupt, and you see that his judgments are true. So already they knew about, Babylon knew about the judgments of God. Babylon knew about the commandments of God. And what's interesting to me that over and over in the book of Revelation, as all the bowls are, you know, you see the bowls, you see the trumpets, you see all the judgments of God and how hardened the hearts of people become, even though the wrath of God was meant to bring people around to repentance, and yet they did not. And so here we have God, the conqueror, condemning the corrupt. They praise Him not only for condemning the corrupt, because He's contended for the clean. Listen to what He says there back in verse 2. "Because His judgments are true and righteous. Because He has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with their sexual immorality. And He has avenged." You like that word right there? "He has avenged the blood of His servants that was on her hands." You see here, even in this moment, the individuals that are a part of this celestial ceremony, they're praising God because He has executed judgment on, but He has stood up for His own. And let me tell you something, that's going to happen in the celestial ceremony, but it happens even today, amen? God doesn't wait until then to avenge. He contends for His children even now. And you can count on that in your life. Now, I'm not saying because somebody says something or somebody does something or somebody cuts you off in traffic that God's going to cause them to have a flat tire. Although, sometimes I would like that, amen? Anybody in here? All right, there's some of you that are honest, right? I'm not saying He's going to do anything like that. But what I am saying is God will sustain you, even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances that you experience here. Because you see ultimately that's exactly what He does for His saints, for His servants. He condemned the corrupt there in this moment. And I see this picture already. You see it. I mean, grab this. Bring it back to our what we understand of our wedding ceremony. Here you have standing, and here's part of what I was seeing as God was helping me process through that day, that you see God as the officiating minister, and that officiating minister that's on the stage. I feel like I'm walking here. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little excited because this is what God was sharing with me. He's holding the Bible. And within the Bible, that's where we find that God's judgments are true. We find the covenant. All right, do you see that? Because God has given us His covenant in His Word. He's the one who initiated that covenant. And here you have God before everyone that is a part of that celestial ceremony. And they're saying, praise God. Because His judgments are true. He is the one who holds the covenant. All right, get that picture. And then you have all these witnesses that are around. All right, hang on to that for just a moment because we're going to get to it. So let me read this passage of Scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 5:10 because I think it's clear. It is clear evidence of God's righteous judgment that you will be counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you are also suffering. Since it is just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted along with us. This will take place at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with His powerful angels when He takes vengeance with flaming fire on those who don't know God and on those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will pay the penalty of eternal destruction from the Lord's presence and from His glorious strength on that day when He comes to be glorified by His saints and to be marveled by all those who believed because our testimony among you was believed. Don't you see that right there? Even in Paul's writing there in 2 Thessalonians, you see the link to that, to this celestial ceremony of what's happening in this moment. This is truly the culmination of what God is doing here on this earth, even as we speak. Everything in history, in recorded history that we know, this grand redemptive narrative that we see unfolded in the Word of God, which is continuing to be unfolded even now, this is the culmination of that moment. You understand what I'm saying? That even in the garden, right? God instituted the covenant with Adam and Eve, and we are the ones who disobeyed. We are the one who went away from Him. And yet, ever since that time, God is unfolding His plan. And He has this ceremony that's fixed in time. I guess it's outside of time, isn't it? It's not going to be in time, is it? But you see what I'm... And everything He's done up until it's a building toward that moment. Whew. And we're a part of it. Right? Does that not amaze you? Oh God, who is man that you are mindful of him? So not only is the conqueror cheered, but the covenant is consummated. Look back at verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give Him glory, because, here it is, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has prepared herself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure, for the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. I want to read to you before we get into the couple of things that I see within this. I want to read to you from Ephesians. This is where we get a glimpse of the responsibilities of wives and husbands. But there's truly, Paul talks about this connection of the marriage relationship to Christ and His church. And I want you to see this unfold, because as we think about the wedding ceremony and the characters of the individuals who are involved, we've already talked about God, who in my mind represents that officiating minister who holds the covenant, who is going to, by the way, He is the one who gives the groom and the bride the vows to repeat. Amen? Do you see that? But by the way, Christ has kept His vow to us. Do you see the groom? The glorious groom? All right. I'm getting excited about this, because I'm looking forward to that day. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Now listen to this. And gave Himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the Word. He did this to present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. Do you see it? Do you hear it this morning? Since we are members of His body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound. Listen to what he says. But I am talking about Christ and the church. Whew. The mystery is profound. And here we have, in this celestial ceremony, the mystery being revealed. Do y'all see it? You see our wedding ceremony, and God here is the officiating minister who holds the covenant in His hands, ready to give the vows to the groom and to the bride. And there before, right at the front, there's the groom awaiting his bride. Oh, y'all, we're already starting to get a picture of the Trinity, right? We're starting to get a picture of the Trinity here in this celestial ceremony. Hang on to that. Because first, we see Christ's work has been completed. When we talk about the covenant being consummated, His work is completed. Listen to what it says. Let's give Him glory because the marriage of the Lamb has come. I think we've got to understand that within that word, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, the perfect, spotless Lamb who died on the cross for our sins and then rose again, and then He went back to heaven to finish His work in heaven, who now, as we sang earlier, before the throne of God above, He is there interceding on our behalf. And let me tell you something. He is also preparing a place, because we also have to have this understanding of the Jewish wedding ceremony, right? Because we have to see what happens when a bride and a groom, when they are betrothed, how the groom goes away to prepare the home for the bride. And the bride makes herself ready for the day in which the groom will come back and receive her to himself. And then there's this grand processional that occurs when the groom takes the bride to the home that he has prepared, and a grand celebration ensues afterwards. Do you see that? Do you see how our wedding ceremony represents that? And here we know that in this moment, his work's completed, because it says the marriage of the Lamb has come. So he has finished his work. He's done what he said he would do in John chapter 14. Don't let your heart be troubled, he says, Jesus. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Do you see the groom? He went away to prepare our home. And it says that the marriage of the Lamb has come. So we know Christ has completed his work in heaven for us. Amen. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to that day? Not only has Christ's work been completed, but the church has been clothed. Oh, you know, one of the things that we see in our wedding ceremony is that dress that the bride wears, and many times it's pure white, right, to symbolize her commitment to the groom. And really here we understand, even from what we read earlier, that Christ, he died so that the church could be clean and the church could be clothed in garments of splendor. Amen? And so you see, I hope you're grabbing a hold of this morning. I'm walking down the aisle with Erica, with a sense of pride. And one Friday morning, I was just praying, God, why did I have that? You know, Jesus said, remember he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you? And he also said, it's good for me to go away because I'm sending someone. You remember who he said he was going to send? The Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Parakletos, which literally in Greek means the one who walks beside me. Oh! Do y'all see that this morning? That the Father of the bride represents the Holy Spirit escorting the church through history, through time. And he's preparing her the whole way to present her to the groom. Oh, do y'all see that? Don't you experience that in your own life? That the Holy Spirit, he comes in and he's making you look more and more like Jesus so that you can be holy and pure and blameless on that day of that celestial ceremony. He's escorting you down the aisle, and there's this great cloud of witnesses as you go by, and there's this bridal party that's in front of you. Don't you see the wonderful symbolism that God gives us now so that we can look forward to what is ahead of us? Woo! Somebody get excited this morning besides me. I feel like I'm going to blow a gasket. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Do you see that ceremony? Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus. I don't know about you, but I Erica, she was not looking at me. She was looking at Seth, her groom. Because this was her moment. This is what their relationship has been about up until this time, to make it to this day so that they can be before the officiating minister and repeat the vows that they intend to keep for the rest of their lives. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, it says, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, y'all, I hope you see the beauty. I hope you see the glory of what God has given us, even today, so that we can look forward to what is going to happen in the future. The church has been clothed. Finally, the company is confirmed. Listen again to 9 through 10. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. You know, most weddings, they have a reception, right? And a lot of times, there's this little thing called an RSVP. And unfortunately, here on earth, there's a limit to that, right? Because there's so much affordability of the food that we can give to the guest. Oh, there is no limit to the reservation, the RSVPs in heaven. Amen. God has a place at the table for everyone if only they would accept the invitation. But here in this moment, the company is confirmed. Blessed are those who are invited to the feast, it says, of the Lamb. He also said to me, these words of God are true. Then I fell and worshiped at his feet to worship him, but he said, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold firmly to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you see that? The call has been commissioned already, hasn't it? The invitation has gone out. I want you to see that this morning. And there are many of you here in this service and maybe even watching online, you have accepted the invitation and you have RSVP'd your place at the table. What was that question I asked earlier? Have you claimed your chair at the reception? You've claimed your chair at the reception, haven't you? But there's some people that haven't. And we need to examine ourselves. Are we a part of the bride of Christ? Are we a part of this company that has been confirmed? And we need to be sure, because let me tell you something, eternity is too long to be wrong. So if you haven't done that this morning, accept the invitation of Christ. It goes to everyone because He desires for all to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be a part of this celestial ceremony that will believe in His Son Jesus and what Jesus has already done for you on the cross. Listen to what the parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 22. He says, once more Jesus spoke to them in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to summon those invited to the banquet, but they didn't want to come. Can you imagine that? They didn't want to come. Again, he sent out other servants and said, tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Do you hear the invitation? What's the invitation? Come. But they paid no attention and went away, one to his own farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent out his troops, killed those murderers. Do you even see now this parable and how it's a picture of even this passage? He killed those murderers and burned down their city. Remember back, her smoke ascends forever and ever. Do y'all see this morning? Then he told his servants, the banquet is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go then where the road exits the city and invite everyone you find to the banquet. So those servants went out on the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. The wedding banquet was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man that was there who was not dressed for a wedding. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him up hand and foot. Throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." And Pastor Chris been talking the past 3 weeks about John 3:16, hasn't he? Talked about how Jesus is the only way. The invitation to heaven comes through Jesus. There are not many ways. There are not many roads. There are not many individuals that you are to obey. There's only one. And his invitation is to come. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The call has been commissioned. And then finally, I said finally earlier. You know a pastor. He says finally several times before he's actually done, right? The celebration has commenced. Whew. Listen again. "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb." When I think about a feast, I think of an incredible celebration. I think of a smorgasbord, right, that is laid out before us. I think about the music. I think about the celebration, the voices lifted together because of the excitement of the day. Here, those who are invited will once again join together to give praise to God, to give praise to the Lamb, because they were invited, and they accepted the invitation. Listen to what another parable that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take oil with them, but the wise ones took oil in their flask with their lamps. When the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a shout, 'Here's the groom! Come out to meet him!' Then all the virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, 'Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' The wise ones answered, 'No, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, 'Master, Master, open up for us.' He replied, 'Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour.'" Do you see what happened here? You have individuals who were invited to be a part of this marriage feast. But because they were foolish, they were not ready. Another thing you see here, the foolish ones ask the wise ones to give them some of their oil. And let me tell you something, what that represents. That means that we cannot live on borrowed faith. You understand what I'm saying? Someone else's salvation cannot be your salvation. Because your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your best friend, whoever it might be, fill in the blank, because they have accepted the invitation of Jesus Christ, because they have repented of their sins and asked God to forgive them, that will not work for you. You must do it yourself. You must answer the invitation yourself. And when you do, you will claim your chair at the reception. So let me ask it again. Have you claimed your chair this morning? Because the invitation, it's still there. The invitation is to come. Come to the foot of the cross. Not only see the crucified Lord who died for your sins, but see the one who is risen, triumphant over death and sin. Because when you do, you understand that you too can live in triumph over death and over sin. But let me tell you, the invitation won't go on forever. There will be a day when Jesus returns. And on that day, it'll be too late. Don't wait. What's your hesitation? What's keeping you this morning, in this moment, from accepting the invitation of our Lord? Maybe you're that person this morning. Would you hear the voice of Jesus in your heart and in your mind? Say, come. I want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. The invitation is come this morning. And if you are here this morning, I pray that you have heard the voice of Jesus say, come. I pray that you've heard the voice of Jesus invite you to be a part of this incredible, this celestial ceremony that awaits us one day. Will you answer His call? It's very simple this morning. The way that you come, the way that you respond is saying, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from them in this moment, and I turn to you. Come and save me. Come and make me whole. And from this day forward, I want to live for you. If that's you this morning, what's keeping you from saying that? What's keeping you from responding to the Lord this morning? Please, I beg you, say yes to His invitation. I also realize that there are many of us in here, we have claimed our chair. Do you know someone who hasn't? Would you pray for them? They have an invitation that's on the table that they haven't even opened yet. Would you pray that they would respond? And that they would realize what they are invited to? Oh, listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. He says, come. Lord Jesus, in this moment, I pray that your voice has been heard loud and clear. And I pray that all over this sanctuary, people are responding in their hearts and in their minds. Have freedom to work, I pray. We continue. We're going to sing, Lord, I need you. And if you need Him today, I want to encourage you, come to the front. I would love to talk with you. I'd love to share with you more about what it looks like to respond to the invitation of the Lord. Maybe you need to come here to this altar and pray for those who have the invitation but have not opened it yet. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Are you saying that this morning? Lord, I need you. He is our defense and our righteousness.
Christ in me.
Would you stand as we continue to sing?